You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How did the Texans' O-line grade out in the Rams' preseason game? In today's show, we look at the Texans' Pro Football Focus offensive grades, and the Texans have a new cornerback in the fold. We'll tell you his story. Welcome aboard, everybody. Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with co-host Brian Patterson from Fanside. It's houseofhouston.com. Hopefully you know the story by now. We are Locked On Texans. Thanks for diving into the show, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. The big news since we did our post-game show, the Texans wave nose tackle Marcus Hardison and signed former Super Bowl champion, Kayvon Webster for $2 million. He was a third round pick by the Broncos in 2013 out of South Florida. He was the special teams captain in Denver and one of the best gunners in the NFL a couple of years ago. Keep that in mind. He went from the Broncos to the Rams last year so he could play more defense. In December, he ruptured his Achilles tendon. He failed the Rams physical in early April. So, Brian, that's a lot of information. What do you think of Kayvon Webster in that addition?
I think it's a decent add, and it's a calculated risk. Out of all the cornerbacks out there, I mean, that's one that you can go in and take a gamble on. He's still pretty young. But what I've noticed is consistently over the past two seasons, his seasons have ended in injury. 2016, a concussion. 2017, Achilles. And he's just barely getting back to the point of being able to get on the field. He had a two-year deal with the Rams before he got here, but they cut him because he wasn't going to be ready in time for camp. But obviously he passed the physical with the Texans and he's here. But he's gotten better every year. And, you know, I just looked over his Pro Football Focus numbers. Last season, he had an overall grade of a 62.4, 61.3 tackling grade, 62.3 in coverage, and 61.7 on special teams. So, you know, it shows that he's versatile. He was targeted 50 times through 550 snaps. So he obviously had some time out there with the Rams. Average passer rating, whenever they targeted him, 76.2. That's the quarterback passer rating anytime he was targeted, which 76.2, that's still a pretty decent grade. But let's look back at 2015, where it was a 53. So this guy definitely has the potential to be a ball hawk, and we certainly, you know, hope that he continues to stay healthy. High risk or high reward and high risk with this guy, because I just don't know if he's going to be able to stay, you know, healthy on his own two feet on the field. But the only thing is, last year he gave up 327 yards. When he gave up the yards, they were in big chunks, 11.3 yards per reception. So you got to keep an eye on that. Let's certainly hope it's not that high this season with the Houston Texans. You know, I'm kind of lukewarm on this particular pick, but you know, we need bodies. We need someone to help, and he could be more than that, but it's just one of those wait and see type things. I hope this guy stays healthy at least for the majority of the season, if not all.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but the snap counts, you know, he had 550 last year. The previous 3 years, 59, 92, 132, much more of a special teams guy. Of course, he's, like you said, he's had some injury problems over the years. His first season, he had 494, and that was the season that they won the Super Bowl. So yeah, that's all stuff that you got to factor in. You know, like I said, off the top, he's coming off the Achilles issue. We'll see if that has any effect on him. But he's not an old guy. Obviously, he shouldn't be.
He's 27.
He's 27 years old. Shouldn't take him too long to get back from injuries. So, well, yeah. I mean, can you be worse than the D virgins? And you know, we don't know what Sasha Ray is going to give you. So, I mean, I think there's no doubt he can't be much worse than what you would expect from them. And Bottomosi, could you expect anything from Kevin Johnson? We don't know. So there's a lot of question marks. And so at least if he could stay on the field, which is like the million-dollar question with so many of the Texans, it's like, it's football. Guys hit each other. They bang into each other. Stuff happens.
Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah. Guys get hurt a lot, especially when they're in Houston, but we got a new staff, so we got to keep that in mind. And Brian, we didn't say too much about it, but you know, they've stayed fairly injury free through this preseason. So I think that's worth noting. I also think it was worth noting. It sounds like maybe Ejiofor came out because he got a little bit banged up or something like that, from what I gathered from what Bill O'Brien said on Monday. So hopefully he thinks he's going to be okay. So hopefully that's fine. You know, there's nothing that you're like major worried about as far as injuries going into the season. So, you know, that's good. Obviously, they'd like to get Deontay Foreman back. Brian, how about we talk a little bit of special teams, though, before we get into the offensive grades? Because, you know, there has been some special teams news that we haven't got to yet.
What are you talking about? Special teams news? What's going on? Is there something that I missed today?
Well, it's within the last week. We haven't got a chance to get around to this, but I want to talk a little bit about Shane Lechler. But first, just want a little bit of news that Kymie Fairbairn was back in practice Monday, so maybe the Nick Rose era is over with, thankfully. But, Brian, we got to talk about Chronicle Texans beat writer John McClain, what he had to say recently, because he's reporting there is a legit battle for the punting position. Shane Lechler does not have it automatically. We've seen the Texans split preseason punting 50-50. Lechler and University of Tennessee undrafted free agent Trevor Daniel each have six punts. And we sort of kept you a little bit in on this one, but we haven't maybe talked about it enough. Lechler's averaging 43.8 yards with a 38.8 net average, while Daniel's averaging 48.3 yards a punt with a 44.8 net average. Daniel put three punts inside the 20. Lechler put two punts. So, Brian, if you were the Texans, do you let Lechler walk?
I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, it's all about a business of what have you done for me lately. Lechler has done a lot, but and I've talked about this in past shows, we need to start thinking about who is going to be replacing Shane Lechler. I mean, he can't punt forever. And looks like we've got the guy with Trevor Daniel. You know, I've been wanting to talk about this, but, you know, we've had so much other things to cover in our past shows. But Trevor Daniel, his numbers are just as good as Shane Lechler's, as you presented. And I just really don't think the Texans would have the guts to do it, to cut him from the team. A future Hall of Famer. I mean, Ray Guy got in as a Hall of Famer. Shane Lechler's going to probably be the next punter that's going to get in because he has just been so good for such a long time. But they better keep Trevor Daniel around. They need to sign him to a deal, stash him on the roster somewhere, because I think Shane Lechler's going to probably be hanging it up soon. And then we've got a guy that's going to be able to take it over. They do not need to let this guy go. We talked about Chris Boswell in the last show. They don't need to let this guy go because I think he's doing a really good job. You know who they can let go? Nick Rose. He needs to get the hell out of here. That was just terrible. I'm so glad. You know, when we heard about Fairbairn becoming healthy, that was like a blessing to me. That was like a blessing in disguise. I've never been so happy to hear that Fairbairn is back in the fold, because we've just seen some bad kicking over the past couple of games.
You do realize they're not going to keep two punters on the 53-man roster?
They got to put them somewhere. They got to put them like on the practice squad or something.
He'd be on the practice squad. That doesn't mean anybody else. It doesn't mean anybody else couldn't pick him up, though. I mean, that's the problem.
And that's the problem.
You know, to me, it's what are you waiting to see if Shane Lechler is going to start screwing up? Either, you know, you're going to go a different direction or you're going to keep Shane Lechler all year. I don't think there's, you know, going to be any, well, we're not sure, and so we'll keep him on the practice squad. And if Lechler has a couple of bad punts, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's something that it's a move that they're going to have to decide, because Lechler isn't going to last forever. And you get a young punter and you get 15 years out of the guy, you know, if he's okay, and you keep wanting to, you know, sign him to, you know, it's not much money. You're usually paying punters, so they usually stay in one place. But just something, a little something to keep an eye on. After this game on Saturday, if anybody missed it, if you weren't checking your Twitter feed, this is kind of an interesting story. Rams undrafted wide receiver and local Prairie View product, Catterell, I'm going to screw his name up, I think it's Catterell Hodge, tweeted a photo with him and Martinez Rankin. The caption was, "We promised ourselves as kids we would get to the NFL no matter what it takes. God is amazing. God is amazing. Proud and love you, bro." And that's because Hodge and Rankin were teammates at Mendenhall High School in Mississippi. They thought they were going to make it to the NFL, and looky there, preseason, first year that they get a chance to be in the NFL, and they're playing each other in a preseason game. So that was kind of cool. But Brian, before we go any further, because we got to get to these offensive grades, but we also got to talk about our sponsor, MyBookie.
Oh, well, let me tell you about MyBookie. You know what? The football season's coming up. You know, it's going to be time to place your bets. Let me tell you something about MyBookie. They've been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just two business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash and win big today. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with 100% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, Brian, we got to get into it. These pro football focus grades, we always start on Mondays with the offensive side of the football, and offensive line is what I'm most curious about. Is anything interesting from that offensive line standpoint that just jumped off the page for you?
As far as offensive line, in terms of allowed pressure, let's just take a look and see who's looking good out there. The best pass blocker on the offensive line was, lo and behold, Kyle Fuller. Kyle Fuller had a good pass block game. I didn't really see much in the way of him being an effective offensive lineman. Amazingly, he got a 66.2, but I saw Kyle Fuller get blown by a lot. So I don't know what Pro Football Focus, what they consider a good move in terms of them giving a higher grade. I thought he was going to be near the bottom.
Two words for you. I got two words. Yeah, whatever.
Yes, yes. You know, Pro Football Focus, you know, we love them and everything, but they're not the end all be all, because sometimes, you know, you look at the eye, you use your own eyes and they tell you what you see out there. And he wasn't that good. But I guess with the pass blocking, he was pretty darn good. I didn't really see him slip up there. So, you know, that makes perfect sense. Your highest offensive graded, your offensive lineman, that's going to be Chad Slade. It was a good week for him. 70.7, had a nice rebound from last week. And your run block leader is going to be Jordan Thomas, 69.3. He pretty much has been consistent, you know, as far as, you know, on the tight end front, whenever they use him there. For offensive line, Chad Slade was the top run block guy, 68.7. So Chad Slade is dead set on making this team. David Quessenberry, as far as his pressures, he allowed three quarterback pressures and two hurries and a sack. Was not a great game for him. You know, his numbers are a lot lower. They're all in the 50s as far as his run block, pass block, and offensive grade. The worst graded offensive lineman for this game was Julian Davenport. He had a 49.6. He took 11 snaps. He wasn't out there that much, but he wasn't that effective when he was out there. Lowest pass block grade out of the offensive linemen would be Senio Kelemente. Rob, you need to know what this grade is. He got a 8.3. An eight. I've never seen a single digit grade in a long, well, it's been a long time since I've seen a single digit grade. I think I've only seen it once, and it wasn't a guy on our team. He got an eight. So I don't know what the heck happened there. He wasn't there.
Yeah. Celio Kelemente, I'm not really enthused with him from a pass blocking standpoint. And, you know, I'll talk about David Quessenberry because, you know, I really tried to focus as much as I could on the offensive line throughout the game. Quessenberry had more snaps than anybody on offense for the Texans this week. He took 55 snaps. Now, they have him graded just over 50, like everywhere, 55 overall, 54.9 pass block, 54.3 run blocking. And I don't mean to repeat what you had to say, but I just don't understand it. I see a guy that's just really solid play in and play out, especially on pass blocking. I mean, to me, there wasn't guys that were getting around him to get to the quarterback. And that's what pass blocking is to me for the most part. I mean, we need to have a conversation. We need to get our friends over at Pro Football Focus. We need to get somebody on the show. Maybe they can explain a little bit more into these grades and how they do it. But Quisenberry, to me, is the most solid guy as far as pass blocking. He's not always perfect run blocking, but not that the Texans have a guard that's going to be perfect run blocking. And to me, the thing that I care about the most with this team is protecting number four. And that's what David Quisenberry, I think, can do better than Cedeo Calamete without question. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if, A, he makes the team, because that's obviously a question mark. And B, if he can get himself into the mix. I don't know what Calamete does well, except that he's played more years than David Quisenberry. That's about the only thing that I can see.
And to be fair, he took his snaps this game at guard. He was at left guard and right guard. He took most of his snaps at right, 35 on the right side and 20 on the left side. So he was playing guard this game. We know that he's been more effective.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Oh, no. Quisenberry's played almost all the snaps so far this preseason at guard. He's been primarily a guard. He's been primarily a guard with the Texans. He's supposed to be pretty flexible. You know, he came in as a tackle a few years ago before all the cancer thing happened and the injury, whatever. He was a tackle coming out, but they really love his flexibility and they think he could play guard, and he has played guard a ton, both last year and this year. And I think he's solid there. He's just rock solid at guard. And like I said, I'm trying to figure out what they see in Cedeo Calamete. I'm going to be really interested once the season starts, because if he is the starting guard, how long he's going to last there? Because Chad Slade and David Quisenberry, to me, both of them are better than Calamete as a pass blocker.
Oh, and they're making this team, especially Chad. You know, just a rising star. He probably would have been on the offensive line quicker if it wasn't for his injuries. But he really is showing his stuff. Now, he allowed about four pressures. He allowed quarterback pressure, hurry, and a quarterback hit. Not as, you know, lethal as David Quisenberry. But I think these guys are both worth a look. I thought Quisenberry, they moved him around a little bit. He played a little tackle earlier in the preseason, and he was very effective there. I think the week that he had the highest score on the offensive line, he was at tackle. So if I'm not mistaken, I'll take a look and confirm. But that's good that, you know, we know he's versatile, but, you know, these scores have got to come up. But the Rams are formidable competition, so hopefully he gets some more time. I imagine he will, you know, with it being the last game of the preseason. This is where all the guys that are trying to make the team show their stuff. So hopefully you see some better numbers against the Cowboys.
Right, and I don't know if you're going to see many people play for the Cowboys, although they've got a lot of people hurt. So they got guys not only battling for roster spots, I think they got some guys battling for some starting time.
Yeah.
I want to get to maybe any more numbers that you've got there of note besides offensive line. But first, just a quick reminder, it's crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. All right, Brian, anything else jump off at you? I mean, the only thing I kind of had a big laugh at is, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk too much about Vincent Smith and his one huge catch because we didn't see it because it wasn't on television. We had a television glitch. But, of course, his numbers were pretty decent because guess what? He had the biggest play from scrimmage for the entire game.
The play I didn't see. Oh, my goodness. I knew I was going to miss something. I heard it. You know, I heard something about Vincent Smith, you know, because they had the audio going. But for that, it was about 30 to 45 seconds. We couldn't even see it. So, you know, boo-hoo for us. But I would have loved to see it. So hopefully somebody's got like a clip or something. I've been looking everywhere, but I don't think anybody does. But a very good week for Vincent. 64.2 offensively, 63.6 on the pass. And he did a little run blocking. He got a 59.7 grade. Your highest offensively graded player, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Ryan Griffin was a 75.8. Alfred Blue, 75.5. Had some nice runs, a 37-yard run, plus the touchdown run after the interception from Kareem Jackson. So, you know, you guys, those guys, you know, not too surprising they had the highest offensive grades. The lowest offensive grade, not surprised here, Deshaun Watson, 43.6. It wasn't necessarily all Deshaun Watson's fault, but he was on the run a lot. The offensive line was not protecting him. But the problem with Deshaun was he was forcing things that shouldn't – you don't need to force things that aren't there. If it's not there, kind of lay back a little bit. But I guess he didn't have time to sit back and try to see things materialize because he was on the run. So he kind of was like on a double-edged sword, but he wasn't making very good decisions with the football. That's going to happen. It's okay. He'll be fine. But this is what I noticed. Was not a good game out of Deshaun. Probably the worst game I've seen out of him since he has stepped into a Texas uniform. Senio Kelemensi wasn't too far behind him with a 44.7. Just not good at all.
One thing I want to say is Davenport, you mentioned his numbers weren't good from an offensive line standpoint, especially the pass blocking. He got called for a holding penalty. I looked at that a couple of different times. I kept rewinding. I couldn't see it, whereas Kendall Lamb, I saw the holding penalty. I saw where they got him on that one. I didn't see it quite as much with Davenport. You know, he was really trying to stay hard with that block, and I don't know what they saw. You know, I'd have to maybe have had a tighter shot. That's the frustrating thing, is a lot of times we can't see things really well because, unfortunately, the production quality for the local broadcast during the preseason has always been horrible. They don't give you many replays. They don't give you a lot of, you know, different angles or zoomed in stuff. And it's really frustrating because we're probably looking at that stuff as much detail as we ever do, because we're trying to nitpick, you know, who's going to be on the team and who's not going to be on the team. And, you know, that's frustrating. Brian, I did notice Jordan Thomas, his pass blocking numbers were pretty good, but only took 7 snaps. So, you know, he got up in the 70s for his pass blocking numbers, which was good. And overall, he was good. But, you know, it's 7 total plays. So I don't know if you can make much of that, where like Jordan Akins had 16 plays. His numbers were real so-so at best, I would say. They're down in the low 50s. So nothing much to see there. But and Giovanni Robinson, a guy we said was a really good story. He did get 6 snaps. I didn't really notice him much out on the field, so I missed it when he was out there. But he did take 6 snaps. So Giovanni Robinson got his first playing time in the NFL. Like we said, is a guy that got like 1 total catch in high school ball and played 0 college football. So incredible story that this guy's even out there. But anything else? Is that all you got?
Well, you know what? Just want to say that a great job by Duke. We talked about we didn't see him all that, you know, out there that much, but he did take some snaps on special teams. And like I said, you know, in the last show, that he did a really good job there, was able to, you know, be a ball hawk and stop the football with his, you know, excellent tackling skills. He took 4 snaps, like I said, and he was pretty good in coverage. He had a 79, which is the highest grade out of the special teams. So in Duke, if of course, you know, starting is going to be going to be pretty tough for him, you know, with all the talent we have on the line, he'll be a fielding guy. But on special teams, you know, you could put Duke in there right away just with his abilities out there. Michael Pruitt, pretty good on special teams, 74.8. And Yefumba Kamalu, one of my favorite guys, we're going to have a spot for him too, 72.9.
Okay, well, save some of those defensive stuff because we got that tomorrow. We got some defensive numbers tomorrow for sure. Just want to remind everybody that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, please tell all your Texans friends. Also, hey, we're still waiting. We want to hear from you people. Where are you listening to the show from? You know, send us an email. You know, find us on Twitter or Facebook. Message us somehow. Let us know where you're listening to the show. Our friend RJ, he told us, hey, I'm in Salt Lake City, and we want to hear from more people. Where are you listening to Locked On Texans from? You can find the show on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, iTunes, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. That's where you direct your friends. You say, hey, look, this is where you go. This is where you find these guys. They're giving you content daily. Do us a favor. Also, share the links to our show with your social media followers so we can bring more people to the party. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Remember, the email address is lockedontexans@mail.com. Time to wrap things up. Brian's got Rockets, Astros, and Texans covered on houseofhouston.com, a fan site affiliate, my Houston Sports Talk podcast. Easy to find on iTunes, the Google Podcast app, and most anywhere you listen to your podcast. That's all we got for this one. Tomorrow, it's defensive grades. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.